This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Adrienne Hill. Our relationship with money is complicated. I think most of us wrestle with the best ways to spend, save, and invest. And that's why we're going to look at some of the major topics in personal finance over the next few weeks. So today, we're starting with our relationship with money. We're answering questions, the ones you maybe thought you should know the answer to, but don't quite really. And we've got a great guide. Michelle Singletary is a personal finance expert and nationally syndicated columnist with The Washington Post. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
So we're going back to the basics of personal finance this week. And we told our listeners there's no such thing as a stupid question, which I fully believe. And so here's what they want answered. The first question comes from Michael in Los Angeles.
I wish I understood all those grown-up terms. I'm supposed to know what they mean, like escrow and investing. I'm an adult and I should understand these things. And I just know how to check the balance in my checking account and whether I have enough to make a withdrawal.
What's a grown-up need to know about banking?
Well, in terms of the actual banking, he's got a lot of things covered. You want to know what's going in. You want to know what's going out. You want to balance it, meaning don't just rely on what the bank sends you. Check it against the checks you've actually made or deposits that you've gotten out and look at it. And here's the thing. If he goes to his banker and says, I'm new to this, can you help walk me through everything I need to know? They will do that.
Without laughing at him?
Without laughing, absolutely not, because they understand that this is a complicated thing for a lot of folks. And I don't think you should be embarrassed. Go in and say, just walk me through everything. Is there anything that I should be particularly careful about? But beyond that, I want him to get a little bit more sophisticated about what he's doing with this money. So in addition to just writing checks and paying his bills, I want him to start saving in an emergency fund. I call it a life happens fund for the things in life that happens, like your car breaks down. So for me, banking encompasses not just your paycheck and what you do with your paycheck for your monthly bills, but how do you plan for the future? So the basics, get it from the bank. What kind of account do I have? Are there monthly charges? Do I have to keep a minimum amount to not be charged? All those kinds of things he's going to get from the institution. And aside from that, look down the road, short term. What do I need in savings? Long term, what do I need in savings?
And that brings me to the next question that we get a lot, and that's about budgeting. I mean, look, you're a grown up. You got to have some sort of budget. But are there basic rules? You know, we talk about spend a third of your income on housing or less.
Right.
Are there other basic rules of thumb we should all know when we're looking at making a budget for the first time?
Absolutely. Here's what I tell folks. Whatever you make, spend less. You got to live not at, I mean, it sounds crazy
it
and
sounds,
so simple,
no, it
right?
It sounds simple.
But most people live beyond their paycheck. You got to spend less than what you make. It's just really key to being financially smart. And then you got to save. So for me, the first things that comes out of my budget isn't my mortgage, isn't my, well, I don't have a car payment, but, it, you know, isn't debt payments and things like that. It's savings, all the things that I need to save for. My retirement, my kids' college fund, you know, my life happens fund. But if you're not looking at that from the jump, that I'm going to be spending less, that's where you run into problems where you don't have money for things that come up that you don't expect.
Now, are there rules of thumb about how much you should be saving? I mean, how much every month of your gross income you should be setting aside if you've got that money?
Yeah, it would be easy if it was like that, but it really depends on your own life. You know, I mean, what kind of retirement do you want to have? Then you figure out how much you need for retirement, then calculate what you're going to be able to save on a monthly, yearly basis. So, but let's say people like round numbers, and so I'll throw one out. I say for retirement, you're probably looking at 8 to 10%.
Okay.
And then college, same thing. You know, how many kids do you have? What schools do you think they're going to go to? You know, for me, it was state. We saved enough to send my kid to a state school in cash, no debt. And so we figured out how much every month that we needed to save to meet that goal when she was a tiny, tiny person. She's about to go off to college. I'm thrilled to death. Get out of my house.
And did you make your goal? I mean, did you save enough?
We absolutely saved enough. I'm so happy. We invested it, we saved, and we have enough cash to send her. And she got some scholarship money, so we are doing a happy dance.
Congratulations.
And one of the calculations that went into that is that we told her, you can apply to any school that you want, but if you don't get any money to make up what we have in cash, you can't go. And so I'm going to be honest with you. She's not 100% happy that she's going to where she's going, although it's a great school. I went there, University of Maryland. But she's getting happy now because guess what? She's not going to graduate with any debt.
And so you told her no debt at all. You said you cannot go to a school where you're going to have to incur debt.
No debt. Not her or my husband and I. No debt, no debt, no debt, no debt. And we've been telling her that since she was a little person when she didn't even know what debt was.
Now, we've got a couple of callers on the line who also have questions. Elizabeth is with us from Chicopee, Massachusetts. Hey, Elizabeth.
Hello.
So, what's your question? What's going on with you?
Well, I guess I have two main questions. The first one is, do I need a financial planner? And if yes, how do I go about finding a good one who is going to work with me and my family's needs?
What do you think, Michelle?
Well, I'd have to ask her a couple questions. So how much money do you have out there to worry about investing right now? I mean, oh, that's kind of telling people your business, but.
Well, so I guess one of the biggest issues that we're trying to figure out is how to allocate money toward retirement and college savings and the Life Happens funds and investments. And so as far as investing goes, on top of all that other stuff, we don't have much, maybe $15,000 to $20,000.
Okay. Do you have a lot of debt right now?
No, just student loans.
Now, that's interesting. Why did you say just?
Well, we don't have credit card debt, and we don't have, other sorts of types of debts that I don't feel like are easily managed. So
how much student loan debt do you have? I'm going somewhere with this. How much student
okay.
loan?
Okay. Well, I have about $15,000, and my husband has $10,000.
Okay. So, all right. So about
$25,000. Yeah.
So I asked that because, right, and you sound awfully young. Are you guys young?
We're in our early 30s.
Okay. All right. That's young, considering all where right. I'm sitting right now. this is why I asked you all those questions, because I think down the road, you probably will need a financial advisor because you're not quite sure what to do. But right now, any extra money that you have, I'd like to see you pay off that student loan debt. So right now, without knowing any more than I already know, the money that you have should be to retire the student loan debt you have. So you don't have any extra money to invest right now.
And so because we don't, then we don't need a financial planner. Pay that off. And once we're in a situation to invest, that's when we find one.
That's exactly right. Absolutely.
Okay.
And I mean, now if you've got some money, that you want to hire a fee-only planner and, they charge any, you could find someone who could probably charge you $500 to maybe $1,500 to do an overall plan. I don't have a problem with that because that will give you a roadmap, not just for 2 years, but 5 years, 10 and 15. You can do that as well. But if they don't tell you to pay off that debt, then you need to find another planner because listen to me.
Okay.
And in terms of finding a planner, ask around. Maybe you know some friends who have a planner. And that's the best way to find because you've got a recommendation right there. I would ask if you don't know anybody, you can go online. There are different organizations that you can look. And if there's not one right in your city, that's okay too, because everything's so electronic now that you can do things over the phone. Maybe one meeting if they're close by, even if it takes you an hour or two to drive to them. And then after that, a lot of what you're going to be doing is online and by phone anyway.
Okay, great. Are we allowed to interview them?
Absolutely. You most okay. certainly should interview them. And I would interview about three or two at a minimum. And when you interview them, listen to what they say. And they ought to match up with your philosophy. If they're trying to sell you a whole bunch of stuff out of regular, like, I know you need this kind of thing, then that's not the person for you, because they need to listen to you, what your values are, what you want to do. Do you have children, did you say, or not yet?
No, but we will in a few months.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh, congratulations. Oh, you definitely need to get that student loan debt done so you can start saving for college. So you want to listen to them and make sure, like, for example, when we interview planners, we needed to find someone who was okay that we tied. So we give a great amount of our income, about 10%. And we had some planners who were like, why do you do that? See, that's not a planner for me. because that person doesn't understand my values. And so you want to look for that. And if you go online to different organizations, they have a whole great list of questions that you can ask for, financial planners. I mean, bankrate.com is a good site to, for, you know, what kind of questions you should ask financial planners, and definitely interview them.
Great. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Elizabeth, I hope that helps.
It does. Thank you very much.
All right. So, Michelle, we've got time for one more question. We've got Carolyn with us now from Rochester, Minnesota. Hey, Carolyn.
Hi.
So what's going on?
Well, I rather impulsively opened a credit card at a clothing store a few months ago and soon realized that might not have been the most effective decision for me because I have several credit cards open that I hardly ever use. And so I was thinking about closing those accounts, but not sure how that would affect my credit score.
And this is a question we get a lot. And I wonder, because we're doing basics, if we could talk, what is a credit score and how does opening and closing credit cards change that?
Well, a credit score is how the lenders pretty much grade you on how you handle your credit.
Okay.
And so they look at how you pay your bills. That's the number one factor that goes into a credit score. How do you pay your bills on time? And how much debt do you have out there? So it takes that and another number of other factors and puts it into a little pot, shakes it around, and comes up with a credit score for you. I mean, that's the basic of how it works. And so one of them is how much credit you have out there open. Now, it becomes a negative if you're using a lot of that credit. So that store credit card that you got, let's say the credit limit is $1,000. Mm-hmm. If you're using all of that $1,000, that does not bode well for your credit score.
Okay.
You don't want to be using very much of it at all. It used to be like 30, 35%. Now they're really saying 10, 20% because that means that you're, you know, you've got some debt out there. So do you owe any money on that store credit card that you opened?
No, I don't have any balances on any of my credit cards right now. I pay them off.
Oh, I love you.
How many credit cards do you have, Carolyn?
I have 7.
Okay.
Okay.
So no balance, but 7 credit cards.
Correct. And I'm just wondering if having fewer will negatively affect my score, or if having the accounts open without being used will have a negative effect.
Okay, so the good thing is you don't have balances on any of those cards, so that does not affect your credit score. In fact, it's good that you don't have balances. You might want to keep the ones that are the oldest and then close the rest. What will affect your credit score is if you had money owed on that and you close other cards, because then it makes it look like you're in more debt than you really are. Credit utilization ratio. So they're looking at how much of the credit that you have are you using.
Okay.
And so there's this old phrase that says the good thing, you want to have credit and not use it. That's essentially the ideal situation. So if you want to close that card, you can go right ahead and do that. You might see a little dip in your score, but nothing significant. So okay. Now's the time to do it now that you don't have any balances. So if you've got some major credit cards, a Visa, a MasterCard, American Express, you want to keep one or two of those.
Okay.
You really don't need more than that because I don't want you charging up on them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and close them and you'll be fine.
Okay.
Carolyn, thank you so much. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
And Michelle, our time is up, but thank you so much. That was a great 101 lesson in personal finance. I appreciate it. Michelle Singletary writes the Color of Money column for The Washington Post. Michelle, as always, a pleasure.
Oh, you're so welcome.